The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody.
See Live Off the Record with Trivago Lang is brought to you by Bahamas First, Caribbean Gas, Central Bank, City of Hope, Click, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Southwest Plaza, and Star General, Insurance Made Simple.
Friends. It has been some 2 weeks I have not been on this show live, as I spent some time recreating, and I'm time for which I'm grateful. But in that time, we lost a very, very dear friend of this show. Practically every day, I could hear from Nurse Willamy Virginia Smith. Whether it was some encouraging word or some contribution to the discussion or indicating her enjoyment of the music or her appreciation of some teaching or something, we could hear, I would get a text, always signed, Nurse. Nurse, and always helpful, genuine, respectful contributions from Nurse Willamy Virginia Smith. And I was so sad to learn of her passing while I was traveling and away from the show on July 12th, 2025. Reached out to me to let me know. She was a dedicated listener and contributor to Z Live, for which I am grateful. Grateful. I have all her texts and WhatsApps and messages and so forth. And so we wanted to dedicate that song by Michael W. Smith to Nurse Willamy today. A lifetime's not too long to live as friends. Welcome to Z Live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I am so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call on the show today, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp 043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. Glad to be with you guys. Had a great time trying to recreate. I want to express express sincere thank you and a great appreciation to Mr. Earl Thompson, otherwise known as Pearly, for doing ever an excellent job hosting the show in my absence. In fact, I have many things to talk about. I'm only going to talk about two things today, though. But so over the course of the week, I got to catch up on some stuff that I was aware of, but didn't want to interrupt my time on break to speak to. But I certainly want to talk about Earl Thompson's presence on this show. Because apparently on this and others, there has been some complaint or request made to IRCA about Earl Thompson hosting Guardian shows. Um, the office of the Prime Minister put in a letter to IRCA, to the Chief Executive Officer of IRCA, which letter reads, Dear Carlton, I write in my official capacity as Director of Communications in the Office of the Prime Minister. I want you all to remember that because we can come back to that. To formally request a review by the Utilities Regulation and Competition Authority, IRCA, into whether Guardian Radio has breached IRCA's Code of Practice governing licensed broadcasters. It has come to our attention that Mr. Earl Thompson, who currently serves as the public relations representative for the Free National Movement and its leader, has appeared on multiple occasions as a substitute host on Guardian Radio Live. Guardian Radio's Live. This is just how I wrote it now. Guardian Radio's Live. Colon, Off the Record with Shivago Lang. The show is called Z Live, Off the Record with Shivago Lang, but just so they know. 2 to 4 p.m. And Talking Heads with Naughty. These appearances raise serious concerns about the objectivity and impartiality of Guardian Radio's programming. Thompson's known political affiliation and ongoing advisory role to the official opposition, we are particularly concerned that his on-air contributions appear designed to consistently promote a one-sided and politically biased narrative. This calls into question whether Guardian Radio is maintaining the required standards of fairness, accuracy, independence, and in its public affairs coverage, especially as it pertains to political commentary. we respectfully ask IRCA to, one, investigate whether Guardian Radio's continued platforming of Mr. Thompson in this capacity, absent full disclosure of his political affiliations, breaches any provisions of IRCA's code of practice. Second, clarify whether a person who is acting communication for a political party or in leader may also serve as a host or substitute host capacity without contravening broadcasting fairness rules. Determine whether adequate editorial controls exist at Guardian Radio to ensure compliance with IRCA's content standards, particularly regarding political balance and the prevention of undue influence by partisan actors. We urge IRCA to treat this matter with urgency and to issue clear guidance that will help preserve the integrity of our national media environment. I'm not taking any callers right now. Not right now. Not taking any callers right now. Soon, but not now. First of all, let me say that as long as he is available and prepared to will, unless the Guardian Radio tells me otherwise, use Earl Thompson as a substitute host. And here's why. Because I listen to Earl Thompson and I listen to him host the show. It's my show. I want the show to reflect the things I am about. And if he did not reflect what I am about, I would certainly not use him. But I can't say that. I can't say that he is unfair. I can't say that he comes on here to promote the FNM's point of view. I know, like I tell people, I have a bias. We all have bias. Prime Minister of the Bahamas is a PLP. I know he has a bias. Latre Raming, who's the director of communication paid for by the Treasury of the Bahamas, is a partisan, a PLP partisan. Latre Raming, who wrote to complain of partisan points of view, goes to political PLP political meetings to share PLP views, perspectives, be paid by the Treasury of the Bahamas. He's paid by the government of the Bahamas. What should I think? Every day he's working in the office of the Prime Minister, ain't doing nothing but working for the PLP, because he clearly has some role in the PLP. Fred Mitchell, my Minister of Foreign Affairs, is the chairman of the PLP, uses his platform as both chairman and minister to espouse PLP views. What should I think? As Minister of Foreign Affairs, this partisan man cannot represent my interests. I can't read his statements and go, but that's a sensible statement for someone who's advocating for the interests of the Bahamas. See, if I take on board that you are complaining because somebody holds a position that they should not be able to do something, well, I can never believe that the Prime Minister, who is a PLP, who is the chief PLP partisan in the country, can represent me or others who may not share his view, who may not. You all know what I said? All the independents who may not share his view. Must we think that? Of every cabinet minister? Of every member of parliament who, after they become member of parliament, are not PLP members of parliament for PLPs, but members of parliament for constituencies that belong to the people. But see, the complaint is he is a PR person for the FNM and so forth. Now, let me explain something to you guys right away. When I first heard this voice on Naughty Show, a voice, I did not know the voice. God is my witness, I did not know. I said, wow, this is a sensible person, very balanced person. I said, and at the time, I was really trying to find some people to substitute host, because we have things that we have to do sometimes that we cannot do the show. And you want to make sure you put in place people who can continue to move to help the audience achieve what you are seeking to achieve through the program. And so I said, I didn't know. So I called Dwight and I said, Dwight, there's a guy on Naughty Show called Pearly. I don't know who Pearly is. I said, I might not know at the time. And so he said, I'll find out. Because I said to Dwight, I said, he's very sensible, very balanced. And I said, boy, you know, and Dwight could tell you, I said to this, I said, man, that guy could have a show of his own. And so Dwight found out it was Earl Thompson. I was like, what, really? And so I asked Earl if, when I am not able to host a show, would he be willing to do so? I didn't know anything about anything else other than I know Earl's father, who was a member of parliament, who I met when I first ran in Fort Charlotte. And I did not interact with Earl very much before that, since that's at times, but not very much. And so I asked him, and I listened to him, and he did on the show, but he did on Naughty Show. He can engage the audience, he was balanced, and so forth and so forth. And so, if he's available, I'll continue to use him, because he's good. The government of the Bahamas has partisans who work in media, who do things in media. Call nobody name. I'm interested in that. But the government of the Bahamas has partisans. Huh? Does that mean they have to, but you have to, when you could be a partisan, but if you get on a show and you say something sensible, balance and so forth, why would I not take that on board? If I have sense myself. Right? Now, what is amazing to me is this. Right? See, don't let's get mixed up. Latrey Ramming wrote this letter. But Latrey Ramming was writing this letter out of the office of the Prime Minister. So this is the Prime Minister's letter. And look at this letter. This is the Prime Minister's letter. So the Prime Minister lodged a complaint, requesting we could look into some things. Latrey Ramming, if he's acting on his own, and that's a different creature altogether. why would the prime minister ask IRCA to look into a matter with respect to codes and practices? Would not the prime minister's office have those codes and practices? Could they not cite which one of the rules they think is being breached by an opinionated host show? See, we have to, we who are hosting these shows have no obligation, no obligation to represent any balance about anything. We cannot be offensive. We cannot be defamatory and all these kinds of stuff. But what rule says Shivago Lang's opinion ought to be an FNM or PLP opinion? You show me that rule. Well, Oika, could you show me that rule? We are not even in a campaign, in a formal campaign season, where rules do apply. Same rules that applied when the prime minister and those were seeking to win office. Same rules. Why would the prime minister's office not be able to cite a rule that they think was breached? You could ask IRCA. If IRCA monitors these shows, you know, you don't think if IRCA had a concern, IRCA could have issued it? Members of the public could have gone to IRCA and said, okay, well, you know, but I could expect them that. The government of the Bahamas wrote the laws that govern IRCA. The government of the Bahamas has an attorney general who could review the law and say, they could have gone to that attorney general and say, look at IRCA Singham and see if you see any issues there. They didn't do that. You know why I didn't do that? Because this was not an exercise by the office of the prime minister in the interest of governance. Can I say that again? This was not an exercise by the office of the prime minister in the interest of governance. Because if the office of the prime minister is interested in governance so that there is not partisanship demonstrated in media, there are many things for which it should have written the IRCA in respect of PLP participation in media. Many things. But it did not. It had no issue sucking up all the talent they thought they could find in media so they could work for government. Didn't have any difficulty with that. But if you have an interest in a full functioning media, why don't you keep some of the talent there? They're not really interested in that. This was not an exercise in governance, an interest in governance. You know what this was an exercise? This is unfortunate. This is an exercise in which the director of communications for the prime minister's office was doing the partisan bidding of the PLP in relation to the presence of Earl Thompson on these shows. Because the PLP has a chairman, the PLP has a deputy chairman, and so forth. All of them could have sent a letter to IRCA. Why is the director of communication paid for the public treasury sending that letter on behalf of the prime minister's office? This is the prime minister's office. This is the office of the prime minister, first lord of the treasury, the responsible chairman of the cabinet of the Bahamas, and the leader of the executive branch of government of the Bahamas, responsible for a ton of things, writing IRCA about Earl Thompson? Really? Really? No, man, this was a narrow exercise in which there was, I believe, a conflict of interest insofar as what the director of communication did. What's the prime minister's concern? Because Earl Thompson, Shivago Lang, or any PLP or FNM or COAI could get up and do get up on these shows and express their opinion on 1,000 matters, some of which support the government, some of which don't support the government, some of which support the FNM, some of which don't support the FNM. What law, what rule is there in a country where you have freedom of expression, freedom of conscience? Is that not allowed? On the radio? That was freed up by the Free National Movement so that people could express their views so that they didn't have to only hear what the government wanted to hear through ZNS. It's kind of interesting and intriguing to me that Prime Minister Davis has indicated on occasions that the FNM hasn't done anything, but yet the very IRCA that the director of communication of the Prime Minister's office appealed to was put in place by Erica, by the Free National Movement. When I was in office, when Prime Minister Ingram was in office. Yeah, same, Erica. That you are appealing to for help. Where they have rules to govern how you behave on air. Was there none before that time? Please, Mr. Raming says he's going to call into the show. So please, if he does, please permit him to get in so we can hear from him. You know, we are being featured with the possibility that the owner of two media companies in the Bahamas might be candidates for the Progressive Liberal Party in the next election. Two, not one, two of media companies, major media companies in the Bahamas. But that's okay. Anyways, to my mind, the complaint to Erica was vacuous to begin with. It was vacuous. And if the government has an issue with how things work now, the government could always pass laws. Okay, go ahead. We've got Mr. Raming on the line. Go ahead. How you doing, Mr. Raming?
I'm doing fine. I thought it was important just to address some of your salient points, right? And one of the things that I think ought to be addressed from the onset, Chicago. Over the past 2 years, mm-hmm. I've heard persons in the media make the reference that the government of the Bahamas sought to cut out the press. When I became director of communications, the governor of Bahamas was spending a lot of money outsourcing communications. And I mm-hmm. thought that it was critical for the government to build capacity internally. I sought the advice of the UK government and realized that a number of persons who they were utilizing in their government, journalists, they had the experience, they understood the media landscape. A number of persons who were journalists at the time had reached the peak of their careers. They were tired of being in journalism. I invited them onto what I believe was changing the way the government was communicating. We appointed persons who had the experience and the competence. We are a very small country. It's very difficult to find seasoned.
But you know that's precisely the point I was going to make to you. The Bahamas is not the UK to this extent. We are a very small country, and I'm not saying you intended it. And I never used the word gutted.
I said sucked up. Absorbed. Yeah.
But you have affected the media landscape in the country.
I will also argue, Chicago, in that point, right? Mm-hmm. When we made a determination to give those persons the opportunity, those persons were seeking opportunity. I mean, some of them had reached a part of their career where they were serving in journalism for about 15 years and didn't see any upward mobility in their own station, right? But the natural course of life allowed persons like Jose Atien and Devante Hanna, Jade, and a number of new journalists to come and to represent the Florida State very proudly. And I'm very proud of the young Bahamians who have filled in the gap.
But there are that's no major issue for me, except for my point is, if you are concerned about the media landscape and how it is being used and what is there. Well,
I think it should be noted that I have no concern about the media landscape. Matter of fact, the Office of the Prime Minister made accessibility to the media more open than it has ever been. I mean, we have a weekly press conference every Thursday.
But today, I'm talking about your lodging a letter to IRCA in which my name was mentioned in my show.
I'm not going to expand on a matter that was before IRCA, right? But what I'm concerned about is this perceived narrative that the government of the Bahamas has an invested interest in some destabilizing of the press, right? It is unfounded. We enjoy a very good relationship with members of the media.
Let me agree with you that I do not believe that.
Okay.
I don't believe that, right? And so if you hear something that made you think I'm thinking that, that's not what I'm thinking. But what I will say is Prime Minister Davis has on any number of occasions, I don't want to use the word attacked, but he has expressed thoughts about media that I find challenging, and I'm going to deal with one of them in a little while in respect of the way he dealt with Candia Dance. So whether he is interested in destabilizing media or not, some of his postures is regrettable.
I think
your letter to IRCA is regrettable.
No, well, let me take those 2 points you've made, right? And you could ask any person who is a participant, who participated in journalism, who've interacted with the Prime Minister, who've known about the accessibility to the Prime Minister. Now, I think I have said, I've spoken to Candia directly. I've spoken to Travis directly as well. And we spoke off record as to what took place at the last press conference and the question the Prime Minister was responding to. The Prime Minister shared his views. I'm not going to go beyond the views of the Prime Minister, but to make a assertion that there's been a sustained attack from the Prime Minister on the press.
Have there not been instances where the Prime Minister, I have media reports, I have news articles. Where people are responding to the Prime Minister in their words, attack on the media.
Mr. Lang, all right? Now, you know, and you've been up close chair to both when Christie was Prime Minister, when Ingram was Prime Minister, when Minister's Prime Minister. I would go as far as saying that Prime Minister Davis has been extremely professional. In comparison, yes, I think the Prime Minister expressed his views in a way that he usually don't do. But I won't go as far as having this perceived narrative that there is a sustained effort by the government to attack the media.
But Latrey, you got to talk to them people who have that view, you know. Remember, one of the things I even said when I was on Dwight's show about this was, I said, these seem uncharacteristic of the Prime Minister. That's what I said. So I'm not characterizing him as a continuous constant. I have said on this show, he and Michael Pintard are people who demonstrate a decorum of professionalism I think decency in their behavior and conduct. You and I are not disagreed on that. But if he takes an action that I have, just like anybody else, that I have concerns about, well, this is a talk show, so we can talk about it.
I accept that. But I also expect, one of the things that, one of the first principles of the relationship between government and press, right? It is designed at times to have a little contention, right? The journalist has a job to do. We'll always respect it. He wants to get his message across. And by nature, there will be moments of contention. And that is something not unique to the Bahamas.
When those moments arise, we look at them. And if we think they have a certain gravity, then we can talk.
And this is one of them moments. I also want to extend my gratitude and you allow me your platform to say one thing that the government of the Bahamas is in no way trying to destabilize, suppress, oppress the members of the media. We thank them. We thank those who have left journalism and contribute to the development of building the government communication infrastructure.
I will push back on one thing.
Okay,
in the instance of the participation of Earl Thompson on these shows as a substitute host, you are seeking to suppress his participation.
It is very clear to me from the comments of both yourself and Dwight Strawn that the company doesn't have an issue with Mr. Thompson, right? The motto of the inquiry is for IRCA to decide. If IRCA side with the people, that is a view that I will respect and accept. But at the end of the day, it's not as simple as that.
You are the director of communication out of the office of the prime minister, brother. You do not operate and act on your own. You are an agent of an agency. That agency is called the prime minister's office. And therefore, what you have done in the name of the prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
And therefore, you cannot expect
that we will take lightly that the prime minister's office has lodged this complaint and request to IRCA.
But Chivago, you just minutes ago spoke very favorably about the Free National Movement creating the institution to allow the government or any private citizen the ability to launch a complaint.
But that does not mean we cannot judge when such an effort is made, though.
We have to agree to do two things, right?
Uh-huh.
We have to agree to one. I have to agree to respect your views on the fact that an inquiry was launched, right? And you have to also respect the ability to launch that inquiry was based on the result. It don't work like that.
I have not attacked your ability to do that.
I say respect, but I know you could do it.
I don't have no choice in the matter.
Yeah.
But what I do not respect is what you did.
I think it was a vacuous request. I'm not going to take exception to your inability to respect the decision that was made.
This isn't a question of exception. But this isn't a question of exception, Latre. This is a question of me disagreeing with you and you disagreeing with me.
I'm saying I respect your disagreement with me, you know. That's the hard thing, and I respect you because look at the time I've given you.
If that isn't the utmost respect, listen to me.
I tell you that. I thank you for the gratitude and allow the platform, you know. By the way, before you go,
if you were out there and I needed a substitute, I would ask you to substitute for me one day. Because I think you are articulate, but on this issue, I'm shocked.
I'll end by saying this, right? Mm. Depending on the conclusion of IRCA's informal inquiry, you know, and if they come back and find no disagreement, then maybe you should invite me to host your show
I'm going to invite you after you cease to be the director of communication in the office of the prime minister and not holding any position or presence.
But I want to be able to say one final point. I've heard this person saying that there are other examples of what is perceived political bias. And I tell people all the time, listen, if you feel that there is a breach of ERCA, or you interpret there to be a breach of ERCA, I encourage them to exercise their right to form an inquiry, whether it's ZNS, whether it's The Guardian, whether it's any station, whether it's ILTV. If they feel like there are other things that could be interpreted, I invite them to do the exact same thing.
I got you. Thank you very much.
Okay, sir.
We appreciate you calling. But y'all are off. Dead off on this. Dead off. And I think a terrible demonstration of judgment was demonstrated on this call. I think that the government of the Bahamas has shot itself in the foot on this one. And whatever Erica's results, I'd be shocked if Erica said, well, no, you can't do that. I'd be shocked. But I think it was awful to have done this. Awful. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Are you looking to save for a big purchase or occasion? Do you want your money to start making money for you? Well, let me introduce myself. My name is Bond, the Bahamas Government Savings Bond. I am guaranteed to earn interest on your money with terms ranging from 1 to 6 years. Government Savings Bonds are available to all Bahamians, and for as little as $100, you can start to save for your future. The Bahamas Government Savings Bond, a safe investment guarantee. Bank of the Bahamas website for details.
Looking for insurance that fits your lifestyle and your budget? At Star General Insurance, we've got you covered. Whether it's motor insurance with flexible options for third-party liability and comprehensive coverage, or commercial insurance products that protect your business, we have choices you can afford. Own a home or renting? Our home insurance products have just what you need. And for the adventurers out there, we offer marine insurance too. Visit our website or social media pages for contact information and quotes. Star General, insurance made simple.
Pop the top and collect, check your cap by 700, 200,000 in cash and prizes, with winners on different islands.
Collect!
Pop the top and collect, check your cap by 700, you could win free bears, take a sip, and collect merchandise, might I say, I pop mine out.
Exo Marie got
up, I pop mine out.
Home comedy, Lutra,
win free bears out.
Pop a coin and just
check your cap,
bring your go around Bahamas.
Collect! Pop the top and collect, check your cap by 700. You could win free bears, take a sip, and collect merchandise, might I say.
Drink responsibly, but...
Winning on the court, just like investing, is about consistency and having the right partner. With RF's Advantage Plus brokerage account, you get exclusive access to high return securities, some yielding up to 7%, plus expert investment guidance. No need to chase every opportunity. We deliver priority trading, exclusive investments, and the lowest commissions, so you can focus on what matters most. Sign up for an RF Advantage Plus brokerage account today at rfgroup.com. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair. It's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands in all seasons.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. We trust that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You know, it's very interesting. It's very interesting to me that the director, that the Prime Minister's office, through the Director of Communication, would write to IRCA seeking to find out whether Guardian Radio is in breach of any rule because it has Earl Thompson hosting shows temporarily for myself and Naughty, right? So in other words, it's talking about the rules. Well, maybe the Director of Communication and the Prime Minister's office should have consulted the rule, because the rules 10.2 talks about, and this is what it says. Listen to what it says. It says, any complaint against any program, advertisement, or other form of content covered by this code must satisfy the following criteria. Listen to the first criteria. A, the complaint must first be submitted to a licensee not more than 30 calendar days after the date of the relevant broadcast. Okay? So let me ask you a question. Mr. Strawn, manager of Guardian Radio, did you receive any complaint from the office of the Prime Minister regarding Earl Thompson? And did they talk about any broadcast in which he did something that they thought might have breached some rule? Mr. Strong, could you help me out with that? Did you receive any complaint? Because apparently, according to the rules of IRCA, that's the first thing you do. And so I'm wondering, I mean, I know you and I spoke, and you never told me that you had a complaint. So, but I may have missed something. So here's the rule. Here the law enforcement grouping of the country. That's the executive branch of government. You know, when the parliament passes laws, it's the job of the executive branch of government, the cabinet, to enforce the law. Appealing to IRCA about breaches of rules that breach the rules. Right? So where's the letter? Mr. Dwight Strawn, manager of Guardian Radio, do you have a letter from the office of the Prime Minister complaining, as it complained to IRCA? Because the rule says, any complaint or content covered by this code must satisfy the following criteria. The first one is, the complaint must be first submitted to a licensee not more than 30 calendar days after the date of the relevant broadcast. And it must be in the form specified in clause 10.2. Subsection 4. And it must identify, remember I told you what was the particular complaint? And it must identify in sufficient detail, one, the subject matter of the content, including, if possible, the date and time of the broadcast, or in the case of broadcast content distributed via the internet pursuant to this code, the website address of such content, the nature of the complaint, the broadcasting station's radio frequency, channel number, call letters, call sign, or station identification of the licensee who is the subject of the complaint, and the identity of the complainant. Don't ask me to do what you aren't prepared to do. Don't ask me to comply with rules when you are not prepared to comply with rules. That's because the first rule was. And that's only courtesy, you know. Courtesy. This is the prime minister's office. This is the prime minister's office could call up and say, well, Mr. Alexiou, you think X, Y, and Z? Mr. Alexiou is a responsive man. He would call and inquire and so forth and so on. Candia Dames. Same Candia Dames who the office is seeking to see now, the prime minister is seeking to see now. It's one of prime Candia Dames or Dwight Strawn and say, listen, you don't think that this is a problem? Before I even send you a formal letter, can I, you know, this is the prime minister's office, you know? Anyways, yeah, does it mean? Let me read this text, these texts to you. Says beautiful song. Yeah, that one was for Miss Williams. Stack says, good day, Zhivago. Welcome back. You were missed, but happy to know you got some rest and recreation. I'm sorry to learn of Nurse Smith's passing. My heartfelt condolences to her family. The last time I heard her was on Monday, wishing her daughter, Cherise, happy Mother's Day. Cherise called in honoring her, even though I have never met them. Over the years, she was a joy to listen to. May her soul rest in peace. On another note, I thought Pearlie did an excellent job in your absence, and I messaged him last Wednesday telling him that. I found him to be very knowledgeable and balanced. He listened to all views respectfully despite political differences. I feel that the writer is being very biased, and if talk show hosts are corrected for biasness, one cannot miss Howard Grant, who says nothing positive about Michael Pintard and the FNM, and he lets Anton run on for 10 minutes most times and calls twice sometimes pushing the PLP agenda. Well, you all know Anton is getting plenty of airplay on this show. A great show, Mr. Lang. This from the same people that hired all the media when they came to power. This government is in the habit of strong-arming people that speak out, in my opinion, and this latest letter to IRCA is to try and frighten that host and stymie Guardian Radio. Don't believe a word Mr. Rahman said. All word salad. These people get posts and then think they are bigger than everyone else and that everyone must know how to know them. This PLP government is the worst I've seen, and I'm not biased as I live in Canada. If Mr. Rahman excuse for hiring a lot of media is to allow for jobs from other people to have a chance in the media, why don't people like Fred Mitchell and others get out of politics so that others can have a chance? I can't mess with John. This text says, did it say must licensees? No, it says the complaint must. M-U-S-T. If it says must, then the letter to IRCA is invalid. I mean, we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good line. Good day, Mr. Lang. Good afternoon. How are you?
I am right here, man. How are you?
Yes, sir. I want everybody to listen to me carefully. Oh. Just remember who is in power. The PLP. The worst government in the world hemisphere. To them, they can't do no wrong. Everything is right about them. They are not ready to govern, as the former Prime Minister, Hugh Ingram, said. They are bad for this country. They don't need the next 5 years. They need to go home now.
I hear you, brother. I hear you. That part of it is not really my business today. All right? That's not my business today. You know, I have to say, that it to me, what happened in that complaint, that complaint that was lodged in contravent, seeking to see if somebody has broke workers' rules. That complaint to me was offensive to Earl. And I thought, and I think it was offensive to me, but it was offensive to Earl because, again, notwithstanding Earl's lineage, Y'all know who Earl was? And notwithstanding that, Earl Thompson comes on this show. I always tell people say, oh, you be trying to promote Michael Pinto out of the FNM sometimes. And I always tell people, I said, listen, if you listen to all these shows I do, and if you think the best job I could do promoting Michael Pinto and the FNM is what I do, boy, listen to me. Y'all don't want to see me promote Michael Pinto and the FNM. It's a nonsense. And notwithstanding Earl and what he does, I am always so impressed myself at his capacity to be affable, to be balanced, and so forth. All right, everybody got bias. Mr. Rahman got bias. Prime Minister Davis has bias. Right? Let me show you all how I know Prime Minister Davis. Both the Tribune and the Guardian carried stories about the surplus that the Prime Minister pointed to coming to pass in April 2025, not 2026, 2025, and that despite his preliminary data of a surplus of $135 million, that he in fact ended up with a deficit of $2 million. Both the Tribune and the Guardian carried that story. Who was attacked? You tell me. On what occasion did we hear? The Tribune and the Guardian got it wrong. They don't know what they're talking about. How you could be talking about a $2 million deficit instead of a surplus when the surplus is supposed to be for 2025, 2026? Mind you, Candia's reference to a surplus, if it was about the 2025, 2026 budget, she wouldn't have said $135 million. She would have said $75 million because that's the projection. She said $135 million because that's what the Prime Minister said their preliminary data that showed would be the case in April of 2025. That's the month before the budget was presented. And then she looked at the fiscal report and saw that the fiscal report coming from the government, the same government that said it would be $135 million surplus, the fiscal report coming from the same government, Prime Minister, the Ministry of Finance, said no, instead of $135 million, we got $2 million. She pointed this out. And the Prime Minister seemed to be, why would you not point out that the government's preliminary data wasn't 5% off, you know. It wasn't 10% off. It wasn't 100% off. It wasn't 500% off. It wasn't 1,000% off. It wasn't 20% off. It was 6,850% off. Who would not point that out? If you had a company forecasting revenue and the revenue forecast, it wasn't even forecast. This was kind of like historical accounting and then some looking into the future because you didn't have all the information. If it was 6,850% off, who would not take note of that and say, what happened? How could that be? 6,850% off? And so that's what she do. She did. She didn't even point it out in the same stark terms that I did. She wrote about it because it is a legitimate observation. And I'm sorry, it is not sufficient to simply say it was preliminary. That's not sufficient. I'm sorry. We can talk. Caller, we're listening to you.
Hey, Mr. Lang, what's up, man?
I'm right here, my friend. What's up?
You know, it finally makes sense now why the Tribune got the letter before the Guardian from Urquhart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm kind of appalled last week how Earl was attacked about his being biased. I listen to Earl all the time. As a matter of fact, I know Earl personally. And, you know, what I've gathered, people call the show and they try bully. And Earl ain't gonna let no one bully him. And when Earl shut them down...
You ever see people try to bully me?
Yeah, they try to bully you also, but you shut them down too. And I think these are the people who speaking about Earl biasness. But I think Earl is very fair. I think he entertains people, but once you come on talking foolishness, he shuts you down. Where do you TLP, FNF? He just ain't gonna let you run on with foolishness. He ain't gonna let you disparage nobody. And I think that's where this come from. You know, and I find it strange, me from somebody looking out. From what I could see, when this government came to power, they just pretty much dismantled the media. And from what I could see now,
they stick up some people now, plenty.
Yeah, they took some
experienced people who was trying to get out.
Well, right. If you and take some this experienced people who was trying to get out, what you leave? But you know, I just find it was kind of unfair the way they tried to treat Earl, and I mean, I agree with you. Whenever you have the opportunity, let Earl sit in the chair. I don't know why Guardian haven't given him his own shows yet.
I used to use Hubert Edwards, Markey. Used to be on, Carlos Mack used to be on for me, and Carlos did a great job for me. Hubert did a great job for me, but they became less available. But I was fortunate to find someone like Earl Thompson, and I'm grateful.
And I'm hoping Dwight Strong is listening. Please, Dwight, slot Earl in there and give him a show, man. Give him a show. He is very informative.
You wouldn't have any complaints for me. You wouldn't have any complaints for me. Thank you, bro.
All right.
Thank you. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Yes.
How you doing, sir?
Hey, what's going on? Hi.
Right, yeah, welcome back, man. I hope you had a good vacation.
It was good enough. Thank you.
Just a couple of things. I didn't know if you remember the noise Sue used to call you.
Yes, I did a tribute to her at the beginning of the show.
Oh, okay. Oh, right.
Yeah, at the beginning of the show, we did a tribute to her. Nurse.
Right. I didn't hear it. I
Nurse Smith, right. Yeah.
But, you know, Ms. Lai, on that commentary with Pearly, right? I was listening to Dwight's show, and Erica Morris called in to tell Dwight that Pearly hung up on her, right? Mm-hmm. I was listening to the show that day. When she called Pearly, but she said, nah, don't hang up on me, Pearly. And Pearly said, yeah, I can hang up on you if you talk foolishness, right? Mm. And she comes on, and she was defending. Every time she comes, she calls, she wanted to defend Dr. Minutes. Oh, why is the problem the Dr. Minutes? He don't attend this and that. You know, she's a Minutes Knight, all right? And she was delusional. She is delusional. Erica, if you listen, you are delusional. And Pearly was just trying, and Pearly let that woman run on long. He gave her a long run, and then he cut her, right? And that was the only poison. That's the only time I ever saw Pearly hang up on somebody.
I cut people off when I felt they were not talking sense too. Yeah, by the way, you all know the late Darrell Miller. When I was a cabinet minister, the late Darrell Miller hang up on. Shoo me off his show.
Yeah, but you know, and even and like Pearly always said, he wasn't even not because he whatever position he has in the FNM wasn't like that. But what he was saying was just totally off. Okay, Dr. Minutes he doesn't support the leadership. He don't attend meetings. He doesn't show any support. So what are you gonna have him around for? You know, and that's what Pearly cut that woman off for.
The other thing I want to ask you, Mr. Lang,
this $2 million deficit.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading Mr. Thompson's contribution in the Tribune, right?
Mm.
And is this because it seems that the government got the money, but they overspent? So the fact that the Prime Minister said that, yes, preliminary data shows that revenue for April will be X amount, right? But you know, like my pastor say, some people and money can't sleep in the same house. So I believe when the government saw all of this money, they went on a spending.
No, but that spree. but that's not what's going on. But let me I can tell you. Stay tuned. Listen, keep listening. Keep listening. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Because I mean it. I was trying to find out.
Listen. Stay tuned. Okay. Stay tuned. Right. This texter says, did you say 6,000% off? I said 6,850% off. 6,850% off. Now, for someone to say, oh, it was only preliminary data, that does not cut it. That does not cut it. It was only preliminary data. Do you know how off you got to be to have a difference of 6,850%? I want y'all to show me ever in the history of the Ministry of Finance where that has happened, where something in the nature of preliminary data. Show me in the history of the central bank. Show me in the history of the Bahamas Statistical Institute, the Bahamas Department of Statistics. Show me in any significant statistical department in the history of the government of the Bahamas where any preliminary data, let me tell you what preliminary data means. This is not divining the future. This is not looking into the future, which you cannot look into, right? You could only guess at intelligently sometimes if you can. This is, I'm looking at my actual, my historical numbers, but because I know that there could be some sort of things, and this is the government of Bahamas budget now, so let me explain something to you all. The government of the Bahamas closes out a budget year. Okay? So that means that it asks all of its departments and stuff, bring me the things in relation to expenditure and revenue in relation to this period, because come the end of July or end of June, I'm closing off this fiscal year. If it ain't in here, then we got to deal with it in the next fiscal year. So you're looking at data. You're looking at actual numbers, but you say, well, you know, I have to go do the budget, so maybe all the numbers ain't gonna come in. So when I tell people that we are gonna have $135 million surplus, maybe $10 million comes in, maybe $50 million expenditure comes in, and then I end up maybe with $120, $115 million. Maybe 10% difference, maybe 3% difference, maybe 5% difference, maybe 20% difference. 6,850% difference is not just simply preliminary data. That's an error. Okay? That's an error. Now, the government offers an explanation for that error. And the government's explanation for that error is that Treasury expenses hadn't come in yet. in particular, the interest payments on Treasury bills. Okay? Didn't come in. So apparently $137 million worth of expenses hadn't come in. $137 million dollars worth of expenses hadn't come in before they got the actual numbers for up to April, end of April. That's the explanation. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about that explanation. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand.
Try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Print My Masters, bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Shell, you home? My gas just gone out. Let me know a small barbecue tank you have. I tell you, long time, go get a barbecue tank from Caribbean Gas. They just got a new shipment of tanks of all sizes. Now you know they always have the best prices. Call them, Caribbean Gas, 361-6007 or 552-9597. You want to use my phone? Here, call them now.
Beulah Gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what are we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Is your business ready for the new equipment, a larger space? At Fidelity, we offer commercial loans tailored to suit your business's needs. Inquire today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to call, you know the numbers. They haven't changed. 323-6232 or 325-4316. You could text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So the explanation that the government gave for this 6,850% variance in what the prime minister indicated would be the surplus at the end of April. And I want you to know, if the preliminary data didn't mean anything, why was all that art in the parliament by the members of parliament on the government side? Because they saw that as great news. They saw that as great news that we would have a surplus position at the end of April. What would have happened if the prime minister says, oh, we'd end up with a deficit of $2 million, right? They would have responded in kind. So saying something is preliminary data and it could change is one thing, and that's true. It could change. Preliminary data could change. We have provisional data all the time in government. Going back as far as we could go back, I do not think you will ever have seen Yanukovych, unless something catastrophic happened in the interim, where a forecast or a preliminary set of data turned out to be 6,850% different. But the government says the reason for that is that the Treasury sent in some payments late. $137 million wait, because for you to get from $135 million surplus to negative $2 million, yeah, that's $137 million difference. Now, let me ask you all a question. I can't take any calls just now because I have to finish this thought. Let me ask you all a question. Where do you think the government's preliminary data comes from? Do you think that the Ministry of Finance has its offices inside there filing through paperwork, expense reports, and all that kind of stuff to produce this? No. Data has to come from the Treasury. The Treasury is the centerpiece of the accounting, day-to-day cash accounting operations of the government, the receipt of its revenue, and the expenditure of its money. If the government of the Bahamas wants preliminary data on its revenue and expenses, it got to get that out of the Treasury. You mean to tell me that a Treasury of the Bahamas that is paying T-bills, which it knows comes due every 90 days, T-bills now, these short-term government borrowings, that the Treasury of the Bahamas can send the government preliminary data and forget? You know, $135 million due? Seriously? Or might this be a situation where, anyway, you figure it out. You figure it out. I don't buy it. Not that in particular. I just don't understand that. Mind you, it could happen. Maybe someone in the Treasury really made that kind of error. And the Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance are saying that. You realize that, right? The Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance saying, I didn't reach my $135 million preliminary data surplus because the Treasury didn't do what they should have done in a timely way. It came in late. We knew it could change. Yes, it could change. But you miss that you had $135 million in T-bills due at the end of a treasury of the Bahamas, I said, in any administration, in any accounting system, you know you pay your debtors first. You got to pay them. Can you imagine what would happen if 30 days came, the people who were supposed to be paid their monies, both in principal and interest on T-bills, were told by the Treasury, no, we can't pay you? Do you know? But that's the reason for $135 million difference, 9,850% variance. You know, I don't know. So what I found so intriguing about this is that in the first instance, it appeared that the Prime Minister had not read Candia's article. And so maybe whoever guided his thoughts in his first response did so in a way that showed that they had not themselves read her article other than the headline, which was not misleading, which was true. So then he attacked her. He said of Candia Dames that he expected better from the senior journalist. She's supposed to be a senior journalist, and that she didn't know the difference between a surplus in one period and a forecasted surplus in another period, which was in fact
Absolutely untrue. Incorrect. Her article was absolutely factual as to the record as reflected by the Prime Minister's statement. A report coming out of the Ministry of Finance, the fiscal report, monthly report. Accurate, absolutely. You cannot find any inaccuracy in her article. Candio knows that I will read things, hear things, and I will call them and I say, well, you know, saying it this way is actually not accurate. And she will acknowledge and she said, yeah, Shivaga, I'm going to tell X, Y, and Z, and we're going to correct that for the future, right? And so if I thought she wrote something inaccurate, I'd say, the Prime Minister's right. You really did. You're a little off on this one. But she wasn't. It's absolutely correct. And it is not an insignificant variance. It is not. So, see, the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance has said to the country and the world that he will have, and he believes he will have, a $75 million surplus at the end of the 2025-2026 budget year. That's a future prediction entirely more uncertain than any preliminary data you could ever have, because preliminary data is based on some historical data. If, therefore, you have a 3,850% variance on your preliminary data, what would lead citizens and the world to believe that you should be trusted on your future surplus forecast? So it is not insignificant. Had this been a 10% variance, 15%, 20% variance, people say, oh, you missed your target, but nobody, it wouldn't be a big story. Or people wouldn't, you know, see it as such a stark thing. But it is. It is. Because it speaks to, okay, how do you miss $137 million worth of expenditure? How did that happen? we have had preliminary data before. This administration has had preliminary data before, and the year before. And the year before that. Ingram. Provisional data. Reporting accurately the state of question, why did it happen? That's good journalism. That's what it's. She just reported it. Just like. Is running for the M&M. Don't just drink the PS. Can the dams are writing or of the minister? Head of the Parks and Playgrounds Committee. Two family members. And she, Dr. Minnis acted in a way toward the Guardian that reflected his disgust with how he thought he had been handled. Same can be a dames. How does that work? Why are we like that? Why are we like, why would we do that to her professionalism? You don't have to agree with her, but to attempt to suggest that some political nepotistic attitude on her part was influencing a story she wrote? that is accurate? And in the context of all that she has ever done in journalism? Man, come on, man. Come on. Come on. You going down again? I have BTC internet. And I switch in. What I missed. I don't want you to understand what I said now. Because I think this is very important. Candia Deems knows that when she writes, when I say something, we don't always agree with each other. But her balance and impartiality in dealing with all and sundry, be it Ingram, Christie, Davis, Minnis, cannot be disputed by anybody who is prepared to be truthful about it or prepared to be objective about it. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, there, the Athlete's Foot, and BTC, Games and More, John Bullfine Threads, Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700, Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Hey kids, it's back. The Jeff Rogers Summer Basketball Camp, July 28th to August 8th at the Kendall Isaacs Gym. Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. for boys and girls, 5 to 18. Pair and learn from the NBA superstars past and present, including our very own Buddy Hield of the Golden State Warriors, Klay Thompson of the Dallas Mavericks, former Laker great Michael Sweet Bells Thompson, another great among the point guards back in the day, Muggsy Bogues, and many others. Application forms now at the Bahamas Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, Tonic Williams, Darling Highway. Call 341-4021 or RogersBasketballCamp.com.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair. It's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands. In all seasons.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Shivago.
Hi, hey. Antoine.
Hey.
I was just reading a text, and the last line of the text was, Antoine, where's Antoine?
Chicago. I was hoping you got to me before your show ended, right? Now, Chicago. Chicago.
Yeah, I'm listening to you.
Okay. Let me start back to the first thing. I have two issues I want to speak to. One regarding the complaint that was launched by Director of Communications, Mr. Ramsey, in the OPM. And then, of course, this last one that you're talking about now, right?
Right now. I need 5 minutes of the show to end now, so you got three.
I understood. Gotcha, Chicago. I can go quickly. Now, I had occasion in recent time, perhaps over the last week, to say to Pearly on the show that, look, it's a different standard when you were on the show, on your show, this is Z-Live, right? Versus when he is on the show, in particular in Chicago, right? You don't allow any kind of nonsense to get away or to come through and be allowed to get away unchecked on your show, right? You don't allow for people to come with false data or misleading data or seeking to malign people's characters when you are in the chair on your show. But in recent times, Chicago, Pearly has allowed that to happen. I call him out on it myself. It happened even where I am concerned on his show, and I had to call back to address the
problem. Yeah, but you know, Anton, with respect, I listen to many of the talk shows, and the truth is, when it comes to certain things, the benefit I have is the extensive knowledge and experience I have in areas. Everybody don't have that.
I agree entirely.
So it's not a question of allowing. It's a question of I can't check a thing I can't check if I can't check it.
That's all part of your response also opens up to the bigger conversation, which certainly I don't have enough time to get into today. But I agree with you entirely. And that's what I spoke to. Your extensive experience, your extensive knowledge, but also the fact that you do your research. You speak about it all the time.
But Anton, listen. You listen to Pearly, and I listen to Pearly, my brother. I'm telling you, this is the show I run, and I don't have no issues. I may not always agree with Pearly. He may not always agree with me, but I don't have no issues with him. I have no issues with his conduct of the show on my behalf. That's why I keep using him.
Understood, Chicago. I'm talking about lately or previously.
Because I make it a point to listen in because it's still my show. And if something happens, I want to be able to say, you know what? Can I correct something, guys?
Right. Chicago. Okay, you can hear me? I can go on to the second point.
Yeah, what's your next point?
Okay, now. You actually addressed it in your response, right? But I want to further solidify and highlight it, right? Because I don't know if everybody got that when you said it, right? The question was being raised to credibility, right? Of the Minister of Finance, right? In regards to his preliminary projection, right? In his budget communication. But you actually gave the public the reason that was provided to the media as to why the numbers were off. And I think that response is what splits all the hairs and makes all the difference and would do and show us unfair the premature casting of blame of calling into account the credibility. Simply because, as you explained, the only reason why the numbers were off, whether you accept
it or not, you must not have listened to me. You must not have listened to me because I don't accept that is acceptable.
That's what I was saying to you. Even though you expressed that you don't accept that, it is still the reason that is provided. And until anyone can provide proof otherwise, that is what the reason is. That's all I'm saying here in this point. And that reason, this is my real sticking point in relation to that. Chicago, that reason does not speak to incompetence That reason of receiving the numbers late does not speak to incompetence. That does not speak to lack of credibility. That does not speak to inaccuracy in reporting. That simply means you didn't have the information to update the public. But as soon as you got
Anton, I got you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I really have to go. But you can have a chance to talk some more. But I have to go on that score, right? Man, listen to me. Anton, I'm sorry, man. You cannot. I'm sorry. If the shoe were on the other foot, there's not a possible chance that Prime Minister Davis and those wouldn't have chewed up the FNM or anybody else for that kind of variance. And then it's not acceptable to simply say, oh, that's not about inaccuracy. You didn't have the information. Listen, man, I know how the government service works. I know how the Ministry of Finance works. You can't give me that, Anton. I'm sorry. You have to sell that to somebody else. You don't sell it to me. You cannot sell that to me. Mr. Ingram, when he announced that I was going to be the Minister of State in the Ministry of Finance in Grand Bahama at a rally, he said he was sending me in the belly of the beast. You cannot tell nobody you've been in the belly of the beast, that what you just said. No, I'm sorry. You cannot. I want to end the show with saying this. When I was invited to host the show and agreed to do so, I spoke to Mr. Ingram because I speak to him about many things because he's my mentor. I'm not running from that. Anyone you know who I run from, Hubert Alexander Ingram means the world to me. You hear me? The world to me. Okay? I owe him a great debt. And it ain't about no appointment to no office. It's about the very small and big moments when he shared with me things that have impacted positively my life and will for till the day I die. Good guidance. You know what Hubert Alexander Ingram said to me? He said, Shivago, when you do that show, don't carry water for nobody. He said, you and me? Don't carry water for nobody. FNM, PLP, or any NAP, don't carry water for anybody. And that is how I tried to live my life on the show. I have biases. Of course I do. I tell you all that all the time. But you know what intelligent people can do? Mature people can do? They can take that bias and sit it on the side and say, man, this ain't right what my people doing. And then pick up their bias again and say, boy, but you know, I support you all. So intelligent people do. That's why FNM, MP, senator, cabinet minister could have said of Prime Minister Davis when he was in opposition running against the FNM, he's an affable person and people shouldn't take him for light and so forth and so forth. Of course, what kind of FNM get vexed with me? Why? Because to me, that was an unbiased statement. I could make it. And it's on that basis I choose the people to host for me when I cannot, that I do. Because I believe they can do that same thing. And so I'll end how I began. As long as he's available, Earl Thompson, if he's available, will sub for me unless the Guardian says otherwise. God bless you all. Have a great evening. And we'll talk tomorrow. Because we got something to talk about tomorrow. Take care.